Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello to everybody tuning in. Most of you are familiar with Celtics Life, but if not, here's a quick rundown. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics, from the latest trade rumor to that other trade rumor, the Nets pick, and how exactly Danny Ainge got his free Chipotle for life card. No one knows, honestly. The pod covers all the same topics our site does, but a little more freely and from a weekly point of view. Best part of it all is we're talking about this from a fan's perspective. We'll cover last week's games and major storylines, as well as look into the week ahead. We'll change things up as the show evolves, so let us know what you want to hear if something comes to mind. But there weren't really any games last week, or not too many games. The focus of last week was the All-Star game, or the All-Star spectacle. People seem to be bashing the All-Star game a lot more in recent years. I think I heard this on SportsCenter, that some people feel like the All-Star game is... The NBA All-Star game is turning into what the NFL Pro Bowl is, which is not a good thing by any stretch of imagination. I'm pretty impartial to it. I enjoy it. I enjoy the lobs and, you know, the cool dunks and the lack of defense for two quarters. But then after a while, it's just like, it doesn't even really seem like these players want to be here. It's like they got voted in. We're just going to show up, kind of just coast and collect the check at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, the Pro Bowl is exactly what it seems like now, you know? And it's, and like you said, like the lobs and all that fun stuff, that's cool for like, you know, even two and a half quarters of the game, but like they can't ratchet it up a little bit at the end. I mean, they always used to, you know, if we go back like 10 years, you know what I think my favorite All-Star game ever was watching was Jordan's last All-Star game when he was with the Wizards. Yeah. And remember he hit that game-winning shot? Well, it was supposed to be a game-winning shot, but then Jermaine O'Neal followed Kobe out of bounds or something like that on the ensuing play. And that's the last time I remember it being like super competitive. And what was that, 2003, 2004? Jeez. Yeah. But I mean, even more recently, the games sometimes have been better, but this one was just like, they just coasted through it. I don't know. Some of the fun lobs and the dunks and stuff like that are cool, but like, I don't know.
Something we were talking about before the pod, while we started recording, was the fact that it seems like the only thing worth watching during All-Star Weekend is the three-point contest.
It's the only thing that's like super competitive. I mean, the dunk contest is cool if you got guys that are going at it. Like last year when they had
Aaron Gordon.
What's his face? Aaron Gordon and kid that won it from Toronto. Jesus. Zach LaVine. Yeah, idiot. But yeah, and then Gordon gets eliminated in the first round this year, right? And then it was like they gave somebody nines and eights just to make it interesting at the end, and he didn't even make a dunk.
What did you think of that dunk?
That was pretty cool. I mean, you know, it was interesting anyway.
Probably top three lamest things I've ever seen in my life. It was such a stretch. Like, oh my God. I remember watching the highlights of the dunk contest because I wasn't able to watch it live. And I'm just like, what the hell is this? Like, why is there a drone on the court? Like, it was just so dumb. But I honestly feel like he went through his entire inventory of dunks last year, and this was pretty much
this is what he had at the bottom
of the barrel. But yeah, I agree that the dunk contest can be pretty cool sometimes, especially when you have something like last year where it's like you're there like kind of biting your fingernails waiting to see what the next dunk is going to be. But I do agree that the three-point contest is the only thing that has any sort of competitive nature to it.
it's the only thing they all go all out for, you know. Even the skills contest is kind of a joke. I mean, they're, you know, it's, they're not doing anything difficult, you know, passing a ball through a hole and running through the cones and then coming back and making a three-pointer. It's not exactly,
I mean, they seem, I've never been on an NBA team, but they seem like pretty standard drills to me.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. No kidding.
How
right,
do you
right.
think, if it's at all possible, how do you think we make the All-Star game or All-Star weekend better? Well, particularly the All-Star game itself. We'll forget about the three-point contest and the dunk contest for now.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't really make it – you can't make it for, like, the finals home court or something like that. Baseball did that for a while, and it kind of made the games competitive. But you can't have – basketball guys are going to get hurt easier. I mean, you can't – these guys – you know, you can't have that on the line when these guys, you know, someone busts their ankle or so tears an ACL in an All-Star game. That'd be pretty bad, you know. At least for the Pro Bowl, which there's nothing really to say about the Pro Bowl except the fact that since it's after the season, if a guy gets hurt, banged up, they have the off-season to recover, you know. Yeah. Whereas this is in the middle of the NBA, you know, towards the stretch of the end of the year. I mean, you can't have guys getting hurt. That's why they loaf around like they do, but... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you make it. Well, if I really don't.
My idea, this sort of just came to mind right now, actually, and it'll never happen. But speaking of rest, we all know that the narrative before All-Star Game usually comes up every year is how tired players are, you know, the week leading up to the All-Star Game. The games aren't as competitive, lower scoring games, less defense, et cetera, et cetera. So what if the winning conference in the All-Star Game got an extra week off? If they won the game.
That's interesting. I don't know how you would do that schedule-wise.
Which is why it would never happen. But if you give the players the incentive of a full week, full 7 days of rest,
something worth fighting for.
Vacation, you can do whatever you want. You won't be scrutinized. Yeah. Do whatever you want, but you have to win the game.
Yeah, because the financial incentives aren't, you know, we're talking a couple hundred thousand dollars. These are the guys that get paid the most in the league, at least most of them, you know. Yeah. These guys are making $20, $30 million. That, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars to, you know, worry about getting hurt is not really worth it for them. So I don't know what the financial incentive is. I have no idea.
Like a car giveaway also might be an incentive. Sort of like
maybe
MVP of the Super Bowl always gets a truck. Or whatever, maybe every member of the winning conference gets a car. I don't know. I'm just throwing these crazy ideas out there that'll never happen. But I'm thinking what would I want if I was playing this extra game or you know during
extra rest probably could be beneficial. Yeah, for sure. The most exciting thing All-Star game was the DeMarcus Cousins stuff coming out all during the game. The Woj bomb came out like right as the game was like starting that they were taking offers for him. And it was like an avalanche. I mean, I was barely paying attention to the game. I was refreshing my phone.
It seemed like the entire time. Like a panic move.
It seemed like it definitely did. Yeah, definitely did. I mean, and it developed so quickly that, I mean, apparently they had been talking to teams for a couple of days, but it was like they sent the news out that they were trying to move him because, you know, to get offers in from whoever
to
was going
to
give him.
To me, it sounded
you know?
Like the Pelicans just called up Sacramento and was like, all right, we'll give you this guy and this guy, and what do you say? Sacramento was like, all right, sounds good.
Yeah. So they apparently at the end of the night, Woj said that they took in two offers. Vlade gave the owner, was his Vivek, two offers that he thought were the best two offers. Apparently, they were enamored with Buddy Hield, and they've wanted him forever anyway. So that was the one he wanted. But interesting, afterwards, when Vlade was talking about we had a better deal the 2 days before, which sounded crazy at the time, and I couldn't understand why he would say that. But apparently it was Cousins' agents that held up the deal. And because they – obviously DeMarcus took a big hit here from financially because he could have signed that mega $210, $220 million contract but only if he stayed in Sacramento. Yeah. And he can't do that now that he's been moved because he's not – you know, you have to be the franchise player on a team for 5 years or whatever it is in the new CBA. And – so when Cousins' agents leaked out that he wasn't going to re-sign with any team, he wasn't going to sign an extension with any team this summer, I think that's when the price hit the floor like it did. You know, apparently they had a better deal from the Pelicans like on Saturday or whatever, on Friday, whenever they worked that out. But with his agents leaking that stuff and started telling teams that he's not going to sign a deal because they didn't want him to leave Sacramento because of that. $40 million, $30 million,
this
whatever.
It's so crazy to see somebody. Let's put all of the stuff that surrounds him to the side, and we'll speak purely on talent. It's so crazy to see DeMarcus Cousins get traded to New Orleans for what basically seems like Buddy Hield and a used deodorant pack. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
That this guy with all of the talent in the world, one of the best top two big men in the league, gets this package in return.
Yeah, he's got the talent, and even now he puts up the numbers to be like a top five player in the league, you know? And then here we're talking about, like, Luke, we'll get into Paul George and Butler later when we talk about the Celtics deadline, but those guys, the packages that they wanted for them compared to him, and he's got more talent than both of them. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's more of a game changer to me than they are in terms of what he can do on the floor. Now, maybe his attitude and, you know, that the other stuff obviously factors in, but that kind of talent, I mean, geez, he's only, what, 26, 25? And I thought he would be a perfect fit on this Celtics team because he can stretch the floor. He's a monster inside. But I guess, the character issues are a big factor, obviously. It's not like the Celtics were the only team not in on him. It seemed there was only a few teams that were interested in him on Sunday night. So, I guess, you know, it's hard to commit. I mean, if they were going to sign him to some kind of extension, you're locked in with that guy for a long time.
Important to contrast. You know, what the Kings got for DeMarcus versus what the Pacers were asking for Paul George. Some reports were saying that they were asking for some combination of Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and the Nets pick.
Right, they wanted like two of the players and the Nets pick at least, you know, like, probably with other first rounders and stuff mixed in there. Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, they're just trying to do a rebuild in one move there, you know? Like, that's, I mean, Jaylen Brown, he might, you know, he very well could be on that Paul George level in a couple years, you know? I mean, that might be a stretch to say, but it's a possibility. And plus, whoever comes out of this draft with that pick, even if it ends up being the third or fourth pick, is going to be a pretty talented player too, you know? So that would have been a hard no for me, you know?
I can't imagine anybody
that kind of price
that would say yes to that trade. I mean, that's the Celtics would, that's a bad trade. I don't care if it's Paul George.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I would say yes for DeMarcus Cousins for that trade. I mean, you're mortgaging so much for one player.
I mean,
and you're losing
it's
essential pieces.
And you're losing all your flexibility too, because if you're signing that guy to an extension, you don't really have any other options when it comes to extending, signing
any trade that includes Marcus Smart. You have to be cognizant of the fact that you're kind of giving away the identity of the team. I mean, in Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart, you take one or maybe two of those guys off the team, and the Celtics aren't the same team. Even with Isaiah Thomas being the beast that he is this year.
No, you're 1,000% right, because those guys make up for a lot. Isaiah gets a lot of flack for not being a great defender because he's a little guy, but those guys make up a lot of difference for that. You know, having those guys on ball defenders, I mean, being able to keep their guys in front of them is huge. I mean, and Marcus Smart is just that guy just makes plays. Like, just
with the steals, just the gritty, the grit.
Just that grit and grind, you know?
That's crazy. But we should actually backtrack a little bit and talk about the Toronto game that the Celtics lost.
Yes. Technically, it was after the deadline, but yes.
Go ahead.
So, first game back after the break. They came out, they looked great the first half. They were up by 17
at
one point.
They were about to blow them out.
I mean, I was playing cards with some buddies and I was watching the game and then like, it's just like suddenly, you know, realizing the lead's dwindling here. And then I kind of got locked in the fourth quarter and I watched the end like completely. And it was like, for whatever reason, Toronto has a good way of bottling up IT. And not only that, but keeping him from getting the ball to other people too. You know, they were yeah. throwing three guys at him sometimes.
Oh man, I forgot what I was about to say. I think it's kind of frustrating to see them lose to Toronto again. Because, yeah. you know, obviously they're in the same division. And the Celtics go through, we've had this conversation so many times before. I'm honestly almost kind of tired of talking about it. These ebbs and flows that the Celtics go through where they look like world beaters on some nights. And then on other nights, they look like they're mm-hmm. world beaters. But then at the end of the game, they kind of fall apart. Like I said, like it looked like they were about to blow yep. Toronto out. But then things start to fall apart. And you have DeRozan going for 43 points. I mean, to me, it doesn't matter if DeRozan scores 43 and the Celtics win. I mean, usually one guy can't beat an entire team, usually. Sometimes it does happen. Mm-hmm. But it's so frustrating to see them allow DeRozan to score 43 and also lose the game.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know what it comes down to. PJ Tucker had a pretty good impact on the game, pretty big impact on the game. That's somebody that the Celtics were reported to be targeting, but obviously didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Serge Ibaka had a positive influence on the game, 15 points, 7 rebounds. But it's just like, what also is frustrating about this, like I just mentioned these two players, is that these were two players that were linked, Serge Ibaka not so much, but PJ Tucker for sure, that were linked to the Celtics at one point or another. Mm-hmm. And are the team that we have the most trouble against, it seems, in the Eastern Conference outside of Cleveland is Toronto. And to see Toronto pick up these two mm-hmm. players is just like, oh my yeah. God.
And we stood pat. You know, I mean, I'm fine with we didn't make a huge deal. That's fine. I understand that they weren't going to overpay for Butler or Paul George, and like killing the whole identity of the team when you're the second seed of the East doesn't make a ton of sense. But like, there were so many guys available. We have all this plethora of draft picks, first rounders, late first rounders, you know, for the next couple of years. We got that Memphis pick, our own pick next year. Second round, we have the T-Wolves second rounder this year that's going to, you know, be near the top of the second round. And we couldn't go and get any of these guys. Like, that blows my mind. I don't understand. I understand we got a full roster, but, you know, there's guys that aren't playing at the back end of the roster, and we could have got guys that
For sure. It was pretty frustrating to, and I guess we can kind of transition into this now. It was frustrating to see the Celtics do absolutely nothing. Like, we all know that mm-hmm. the general consensus is that if the Celtics were going to make a trade, this was the best time to do it. They had all these assets, mm-hmm. the Nets pick for the next 2 years, their own picks. They have all these good players or solid rotation players with really good contracts. But they couldn't get anybody. No, like, I don't care if they didn't trade for Butler. I don't care if they didn't trade for Paul George, Nerlens Noel, etc. That's fine. A lot of these players and even bigger players are going to be available this coming summer, if not next summer. So that's fine by me. But to mm-hmm. not do anything at all and see everybody around us make these pretty significant moves for bags of popcorn, like it's infuriating.
I mean, we are like last or maybe second to last now in rebounding in the NBA, you know? And I understand that some of that comes from Steven's system. He wants the guys to get back on defense. So we don't get a ton of offensive rebounds because we're not trying to. You know, he'd rather have the guys set and play defense. But, like, last year we were, like, ranked, like, sixth in the NBA in rebounding, you know? We lost Solinger, obviously. Big hit there. Sure. And fine. But at the same time, like, to fall to last in the league, I mean, we're that bad, and you don't address it, I think that's crazy. You know, that's going to murder us in the playoffs when the game slows down and, you know, we run up and down the floor now launching three-pointers, and they've had some success doing that. But that, you know, playoffs is a totally different. The game slows down. It's, you know, I just think teams are going to manhandle us if they don't add some, you know, somebody in there. And they still have the opportunity to do that with a few guys that are.
It makes me wonder if Danny Ainge is kind of just conceding defeat this season.
Yeah, it almost seems like he's just gearing up for the off season. You know, like, we'll make our big moves in the off season, head into next year. I mean, I don't mind the fact that they're planning for the future, right? But, I mean, you can't tell me that we couldn't – like, it sends a message when you add a guy to a team. Like, we think you guys have a chance to do this, so we're going to go get you some help where you need it, rebounding and is someone in the paint, you know? And when you don't do that – I don't understand like the logic behind that. You know, it's like, oh, we're just going to stand pat. Sure, the roster's full, but are we really going to be dead if we cut Demetrius Jackson or Jordan Mickey, the guys that we haven't played? You know, I mean, maybe they're both promising young players, but what's the point if they're not going to play anyways? We have all these guys overseas coming next year.
Problem for the Celtics.
Yeah, and we've got more draft picks coming in, and what are we going to do with all these guys? You can't possibly keep them all. That's why it doesn't make sense that they didn't trade one of them, package one with a second round pick, and go get somebody. You know,
yeah, or you need to start letting loose with some of these assets, because sort of like what you said, we're going to be in a position soon enough this summer where we just had so much on the table in terms of players, picks, et cetera, et cetera, and obviously you can't keep them all. So what do? You need to let loose. You need to cut somebody, trade somebody, whatever. But it's crazy to think that. Well, what we think is that Danny Ainge is going to try to just tackle all of this coming off season.
Yeah. Well, one thing he has in his favor is a lot of these guys that we have are on expiring deals, right? So we got Amir, James Young, Jerebko. I don't know about Jackson if he has a multi-year deal or not, but Tyler Zeller. So that's four
and that's
bodies
a lot of money
right there.
Too.
That are
you got
gone,
12
right?
with Amir, 5 with
right.
Jeff.
Big, yeah, right. And Zeller makes like $8 million,
with
I think.
Those four guys. Easily.
Yeah, exactly. So you clear that. That's four roster spots that open up right there. I don't know about Jackson, so I'm not gonna say. So we'll say those four anyways. So then you've got Zizek. By all reports, is coming over to the NBA next year. Probably, yeah. They're talking about Yabusele coming, but playing in the D League next year, and keeping Nader in the D League as well.
He was
hurt,
wasn't he?
He was hurt for a little while, but he's back now. I mean, he probably would have been. He was in the All Star game, the D League All Star game the other day. But he was. I mean, he probably would have been up for MVP. He's probably like fifth or fourth in the D League now. But he missed a couple of weeks, I think, with.
One thing I want to just throw in here really quickly is I saw this story. I didn't click on it, but I saw this headline that some NBA executives think that if Zizek would have declared for the draft this year, that he would have been a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
This is a guy that we have stashed overseas.
Yeah, that's awesome, you know? Oh, also, another guy expiring this year, Gerald Green, too. So maybe they do have plenty of room for these guys, but are those players going to step into the roles that these guys are playing? Like, who's going to be our starting?
And the problem with that also is you have five players out the door. You need to replace that.
Yeah. Oh, did I even say Olynyk? Olynyk too. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with him, but he's expiring this year too. Well, I didn't think so earlier this year, but he's been playing pretty damn well. So I think if the price is right, they certainly. We'll try. I mean, he's been solid, but I mean, is he?
He's a tricky guy because, like you just said earlier in the year, you didn't know if he was worried.
Yeah, and granted, he was coming off injury too. So I mean, maybe
he's aggressive, like he should be every single night. He's a legitimate threat to be a starter on a team.
And when he's been giving us like 16 and 7, for the past month. Off the bench, you know, playing like under 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, so he,
a lot of times, you know,
he's doing it. He's doing it right now.
So I mean, he yeah, right.
Let's just get into some of these bigger trades really quickly. Nerlens Noel to Dallas. That's a pretty big move.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas is obviously setting up for the future. Right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Taj Gibson. and McDermott to Oklahoma City. I think that's also a good move for the future. I mean, they already have Russell Westbrook locked in.
I think it's a great deal for them. They're already a playoff team, right? So Gibson adds them a little toughness inside. And McDermott is a guy that he spreads the floor a little bit, and he's a young kid. He's got some room to grow too, you know. I think he was the 10th or 11th pick just a couple of years ago in the draft. So, and they gave up Cameron Payne, who looked like a promising young kid, but Chicago, you know, is looking for a guy like that. So, I mean, I think that works out for both sides, I guess.
It would have been nice to see Taj Gibson on the Celtics, though. You
match him.
Oh, I would have put him alongside Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart, and I don't know how a team scores against.
Yep. Yeah, he's
a good offensive rebounder. From what I'm remembering,
when they were talking that big deal for Melo, the three-team trade with Melo to Melo to the Clippers and Blake Griffin to the Celtics, whatever that craziness that someone brought up from the Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, but. I was like, "Well, can we somehow get Taj Gibson in that deal too?" Like, the guy's awesome. I was really hoping that we were going to work out a three-team deal with Philly and Chicago for us to get Taj Gibson. You know, Okafor going to Chicago because apparently they were enamored with him, and then us sending like Terry Rozier and whatever or something like that to Philly or Chicago to Philly, right? But
does make me sad that. Taj Gibson is elsewhere, I guess whatever. PJ Tucker, like we spoke about him earlier, and Serge Ibaka went to Toronto. That's a pretty bad loss for the Celtics. And
With 10 rebounds in his first game there. Yes. against us, though, that's not really saying much. I think you could get 10 rebounds.
I probably could. That's a bad move. It puts the Celtics in a weird position.
It toughens them up, you know? That him and Ibaka, you know? I mean, it's like these other teams that we've been playing better than recently, aside from maybe Washington, who's been playing just about as good as the Celtics were, you know, if not better, going into the break. These teams all got better, you know?
And Washington got better with Bogdanovich. You know? He's a good three-point shooter.
Right. And we keep hearing, you know, that Avery Bradley coming back is going to be a big boost. And sure, it is. But him coming back also is going to take minutes away from the other guys that have been playing good, too. So it's not like, you know, it's not an addition in an area of need necessarily, as much as I like Avery. And, like, you know, he's going to be – him coming back takes away minutes from Marcus Smart, takes away minutes from Jaylen Brown. So, you know, those guys have been playing really well. So is it really that big of an addition?
Who do you think had – we'll focus on two teams right now. Who do you think had the better trade deadline, New Orleans or Toronto?
I mean, if we include the Ibaka deal as well, I would say Toronto did a great job of rounding out their team. You know, they've got a tough team. They were good before, but fully healthy. They didn't even have Kyle Lowry on Friday night, you know? I think they did really well. And, I mean, I think the Pelicans made out good. I mean, they stole Cousins for, you know, a first-round pick and Buddy Hield, you know. I was never really sold on Buddy Hield. I know everyone wanted him to come to the Celtics last year. I like Jamal Murray better than I liked Buddy Hield, but I don't know. He doesn't seem like a building block that you're going to build your team around. I mean, he's a good player. He'd probably end up being a solid NBA starter, shooter, you know, but I don't know that he's going to be some kind of cornerstone player. But it'll be interesting to see how the Pelicans, because so far they haven't looked that great with Cousins in the lineup and Anthony Davis. I mean, it's kind of going old school with the two big guys like that. I thought that maybe that would make them a tough matchup for like a Golden State because they'd be so much bigger than them and be able to just grind them out inside if they end up getting that 8 seed. But so far, you know, hasn't necessarily looked as good as it, you know,
the problem,
sounds
though,
on paper.
The only thing that you took DeMarcus Cousins out of in Sacramento was a culture of losing. In New Orleans, it's not like they're this horrible team, you know.
Right. I mean, they were a good team for a long time with Chris Paul there. Yeah.
outside of this like culture of just kind of coasting through the season and getting what you get out of it, you're kind of putting DeMarcus Cousins in the same position he was in Sacramento. The team still kind of sucks this year. I mean, Anthony Davis is great. Yeah. Like, we all know that he's this immense talent and he's so young. So, I mean, his best years are still to come. But you took mm-hmm. DeMarcus Cousins out of Sacramento and you put him back in Sacramento. In a way.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, you know, all this talk of him being so frustrated there and, you know, this losing culture, if it changes his attitude at all, especially now that he can't sign this mega extension. So he loses a lot of money in the process.
Right.
Yeah. So you take him out of Sacramento, that's a losing team, and you put him in New Orleans, it's also a losing team, and you also take away his ability to make $200 million plus over the course of 4 or 5 years. We'll see what happens. You know, if they start winning games, maybe next year, during the offseason, they'll pick up some more pieces, whatever. We'll see. But for right now, I'm thinking the same thing is going to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, aside from they don't really have any playmakers besides Drew Holiday, who's been playing really well. Aside from that, they don't have anybody else. I don't know. You just dump it into the big guys every single time. I don't know how that works, but.
You have the problem Philly has or had.
Right. Plethora of big guys.
But yeah, I'm sure you have all noticed that we've been talking about all the moves that everybody else has made, but we haven't really talked about the Celtics because, like you all know, and like we said a few times, the Celtics didn't make any moves. But there are some candidates arising that we can pick up after they're bought out. Andrew Bogut is the big name. We got Terrence Jones, Sullinger.
And Omri Caspi, who just got bought out yesterday. And Mike Scott, yep. And then there's always the Larry Sanders has been lurking around trying to cling on with some team, and he probably will at some point, but I'm not sure I'd be sold on a guy that hasn't played in 2 years.
I think most teams are going to take a pass on him and maybe pick him up during the offseason.
Yeah, or I was thinking, why not a team that's not really in it or a borderline playoff team, like a team that's not contending, that can offer him some time to play? You know, like, why doesn't one of those NBA, like, bottom feeders pick him up? And you know, obviously he probably wants to play for a contender, but if he doesn't get an offer, wouldn't it be better for him to play on a team where he can play, like, 20 minutes? Yeah, because then he could sign a one-year deal at veterans minimum even, you know, and just play out the season and be like, oh, look, this kid can still play, and then sign wherever he wants in the offseason.
I would be fine with just giving him a 10-day contract. I'm not too keen on contract terminology and how the inner workings of these things, but you give him a 10-day contract, you see if he's still capable of playing NBA basketball, and if he does well, you know, sign him for the rest of the season or give him another 10-day contract, whatever. But throwing a 1-year deal at him seems a little reckless for a guy that hasn't been in the league for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody's going to do it, I would imagine. And I mean, but they have to do it. If it's a playoff team, they have to do it before March 1st because, but he's worked out for the Celtics. We know he's worked out for Cleveland. I'm sure he's worked out for other teams, but those are the only two that I know offhand. He worked out for Cleveland this week. So, I mean, there's some interest in him, and I get that. But apparently the Celtics weren't blown away with his workout a few weeks ago anyways. And, I mean, I think that's probably – you know, why we haven't heard anything else about him to Boston, because, you know, they probably didn't deem him worthy. I mean, you're probably better off throwing Jordan Mickey in the game than putting a guy that hasn't played in 2 years, you know, in my eyes. But
yeah,
Bogut's an interesting one.
He's probably the guy that Celtics fans seem to want the most because he fixes or addresses one of our glaring issues of rebounding. So I think he's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously is injury concerns, but if you're signing a guy, you know, I mean, he was healthy in the playoffs the last 2 years for Golden State and played a huge role both times. Last year in the playoffs, he blocked 3.5 shots a game for the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs.
That's crazy.
That is insane.
So I'll take, I'd roll the dice on the injury. I know everyone was killing me the other day because I wrote about him saying that he's injury prone. And yes, he is, but that's worth a shot. You know, it doesn't have to play much in the season, but you could really turn him up in the postseason.
I mean, what do you have to lose?
And so we have an interesting situation because obviously, apparently there's a loophole where he can sign with the Warriors. It's some CBA loophole that they could sign him if they wanted to. The Cavs could sign him, but only for the veterans minimum. We can offer him a $2.5 million exception, so we can outbid them. But maybe he wants a better shot at chasing a title. Who knows? You know. But the Rockets and the Jazz are both under the cap, so they can offer more than we can. So those are the only two other contenders, you know, contending teams, whatever, that are in the, you know, top four of their conference.
But he did say that he wanted to play a major role on the team.
Yes, and that's, yeah. And I think that we could offer him that. I don't really know Utah.
I think we offer him a starting spot.
That may very well be. So, I mean, you know, that would be, you know, and even if he wasn't starting, I imagine he'd be playing 20 plus minutes a game.
He would fall into a situation that is ideal for him. I mean, the Celtics are contenders. Mm-hmm. I mean, some dominoes have to fall for them to end up in the finals, but.
Right. But there's a good shot that we could make the Eastern Conference Finals if we can figure out a way to rebound the ball, and a long way to helping us there.
So I think the prime candidate that the Celtics should target is obviously Andrew Bogut.
My personal favorite is Terrence Jones, and for this reason, because he helps. He can shoot from the outside. He's a very good rebounder. He's a young kid. He's only like 25. And he would be a prime candidate for one of those Danny Ainge below market value multiple year contracts at the end of the year, where we could probably get him because he hasn't, you know, he had a kind of a rough year this year in New Orleans. He asked to be released because he knew he wasn't going to be playing with DeMarcus there. So, and they waived him, but he would like. I just feel like he's a guy that we could lock up long term, maybe, and get
like a
below-market
value, $10 million deal or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Where you know how Danny operates
For sure.
In that realm.
So I think those are two guys that we should definitely keep our eyes on.
And then there's our old pal Sellinger.
Absolutely not. Look, this is one thing that I'll say. I appreciate everything that he did. I think that he was scrutinized way too much, the whole weight thing. I think it was very overblown. People gave him – they were way too hard on him. I don't agree with 99% of the things that were said about him. Really tough guy, great rebounder. But the reason I don't want him back on the Celtics is basically kind of to save him from himself. Because what's going to happen is that let's say they sign him, whatever – he's going to come have a good game, his first game back, let's say 7 rebounds, 8 points, something like that. Then the next game, he's going to do a very sully thing and get 2 rebounds and 1 point. And everybody's going to pile on him. And you'll see a downward spiral for the rest of the season.
I don't think he's going to be an addition. But the only reason it was intriguing, obviously, he shows up the rebounding a little bit, and he knows the system, so he could probably slide back in rather seamlessly. But I feel
awful for him and the injury concerns.
He only played 11 games this year, and Toronto.
I feel awful for him because he's such a capable player. Like he can show up.
Yeah. He'll be back, though. Next year, he'll sign a deal. He's not going to get paid, that's for sure. But if he signs another one-year deal, hopefully with a team that he can get some run, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy. Because, I mean, he can be a good NBA player. He just needs to, I don't know, a little more work ethic maybe off the court, too.
Anybody else? I think that covers
Mike Scott got released too. I mean, I don't see him being a huge impact. Yeah. Caspi's interesting because he can shoot, but he's not quite the rebounder the other guys are in the presence in the paint. So I think Bogut and Jones are the way to go.
I think if we're in a position to, even one of them,
that's fine. I mean, if we have to release somebody, Jackson, Mickey, I really don't care. Although Mickey signed for like another 2 years after this one. I think they're kind of doing the long plan with him, you know, so I don't think he's going anywhere. It'd probably be Jackson on the way out.
I think that's everybody. Roy Haber went to Denver for a heavily protected second round pick.
Oh my goodness. What happened to
Roy Haber?
It
was just a few years ago where we saw him on the Pacers going against Miami, and it was like this huge battle. Like, he was such a great big man, and now, like I said, they're trading him for nothing. A heavily protected second round pick. Like, you might as well just trade him for cash considerations. I don't know what happened.
Crazy.
He's a big guy, but it seems like, big guys that, you know, no 3-point shooting, primarily impulsive guy, you know, just kind of a big body in the middle. Like, it's like a dying breed in the NBA. I hate to sound like that guy, but it's exactly what the NBA is going towards. You need to be if you're a big guy, you need to be able to go past the 3-point line and knock down a few threes a game. If you're just a Shaquille O'Neal post up type, you're going to be in and out very quickly. Which is kind of sad to see, but people seem to like it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. And, you know, the game changes. Maybe we'll see a return of the big guys eventually, but it seems like most of the guys coming out of college are smaller, more athletic, and better shooters.
Did you see the Isaiah Thomas finger guns thing?
I did. I actually just wrote about that this morning. So the NBA is actually investigating.
They basically let it go.
Yeah, I know, but they have enough. Yeah, so apparently it's, you know, like it has to be deemed menacing or whatever. You know, for it to be deemed and what they did. Remember, they fined Dwayne Wade for the throat slash earlier this year, and then last year Gerald Green got fined for shooting guns off after making a big shot in the preseason game, nonetheless. And he wasn't even directing them at anybody, and they fined him for it, which is bananas. But whatever. So it looks like, you know, I mean, he jumped up, pointed at him with his finger like that. It really didn't look as sinister as it should have even been discussed. But, I mean, you know, whatever. Gun violence.
No. We'll take a look. Yeah, like we said, the NBA is going to.
And he's got no prior record, you know. So we're not dealing with somebody that's had issues before. So
playoffs last year with, what's his name, on the Hawks? The point guard.
The big elbow. No, it wasn't Bazemore. It was Schroeder.
Outside of that,
and that was an elbow.
Isaiah Thomas has been pretty.
A sterling rep sheet.
Did you see or did you hear? It's funny because I was watching this game and I thought I heard something, and I'm like, who was he talking to? And I was like, wait, he must be talking to Paul Pierce, because he was. Yeah, Draymond Green and Paul Pierce. Draymond Green. He was like, they don't love you like that. You ain't Kobe. You're not going to get a farewell tour or whatever. And I was like, wait, oh my God. He's getting at Paul Pierce right now.
Maybe they don't love him like that in LA, but they certainly love him like that in Boston. I mean, the reaction when he came back a couple weeks ago was pretty genuine, if you ask me.
He's such really a gets to me, man.
Oh my God, how many times are you gonna kick somebody in the
balls? Yeah, he did it in that game too.
What is wrong with that guy? I know he did.
And it's funny because he tries to defend it, and he says that it's like a normal motion for him, or whatever his bogus justification was. He said that it's just like a basketball move or some garbage like that. Nobody believes you.
Yeah. Oh, God. I really, really hope that the Pelicans can figure it out with those two big monsters so that he has to guard those two guys in the playoffs in the first round, getting mugged by them.
He strikes me as a Kevin Garnett type that nobody actually likes. Like, you always hear that, like,
nobody liked playing against Garnett.
They would always say, Kevin Garnett is the type of guy you hate playing against, but if he was on your team, you'd love him. That type of guy. But Draymond Green is the type of guy that I don't want him on my team, and I don't want to play against him either.
Well, he's a good player. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd probably take him on the Celtics.
I'm not knocking his skills at all.
Yeah. But you're right though. It's the stuff. I mean, when you're kicking people, your legs flailing around. Yeah. I mean, how many times is that going to happen? You know, that's insane.
It's so frustrating. I feel like what the NBA needs to do is that next time Draymond Green even, you know, kicks his leg up, fine him like $100,000 every single time.
Yeah, seriously.
Because he's obviously crazy. Doesn't get it. And last thing before we get into the upcoming games, the emojis, the emoji war. The eyeballs.
No, the eyeballs. The clock God. And then Isaiah tried to play it off the next day, like he was just was watching a movie, and I was just not a big right. He totally did that on purpose. He was trolling everybody.
The funniest one was the meme that they put a picture of Paul George's sneaker logo.
they turned it sideways. Total conspiracy theory here. Like that's what he meant to do. And you know that is not at all what he meant to do, but people just ran with that.
Really,
that was
really funny things out there. Yeah, Larry Sanders got in on it.
Andre Drummond sent the googly eyes back. And then he took all his Pistons stuff off of his account. And then they're asking him about it. He's like, I'm a grown man. I can do whatever I want to do. I thought that was pretty funny. I wonder if they were shopping him and he found out about it, you know, and then that's why he got this.
Knows?
But clearly they didn't trade him. But
I mean, nothing will ever top the DeAndre Jordan debacle. DeAndre Jordan.
That was crazy. What a mess. Picture of the door and then the rocket ship that Paul Pierce, the picture of the rocket ship that Paul Pierce tweeted out.
Oh.
And the train and the boat and oh my God, that was such a funny day.
That was pretty funny. Well, I don't think Mark Cuban thought it was very funny, but
he was so mad. He was so mad, but it was one of the more memorable days in the NBA, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of shifty because by them saying that they were going to commit that money to him, they were out on all the other free agents. So while they're not chasing other guys with that money, and they got screwed because they had to just get whoever was left over.
Yeah, that was really, really shady on DeAndre's part. And the Clippers part, really. Because they had as much to do with this as DeAndre.
Yeah. I mean, you can't blame them for trying, though. That's on him, ultimately.
Shouldn't there be I know we're talking about something that happened a long time ago, but shouldn't there be a certain level of, like, respect amongst organizations?
Yeah, I mean,
hey, you're pursuing this guy, and, like, he's already, like, kind of verbally agreed to sign with you. Like, we won't, touch that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Right. Anyway, so we got some games coming up this week. All-Star break is obviously over. Got Detroit, Atlanta, Cleveland, and Los Angeles, the Lakers. I see the Celtics coming out this week. Let's say 3-1. Every time I say 3-1, they don't go 3-1. I'm going to say 2-2. Yeah, they're going to win. They're going to beat
2-2.
Detroit and Los Angeles and lose back to back against Atlanta and Cleveland.
Yeah, for whatever reason, we played Detroit pretty well, even though they out-rebound us by like 20 every time that we play them. Atlanta's a tough game, I guess. Yeah, it's a tough game. It's funny, with the Lakers are probably the easiest matchup we have all week on Friday. That's how the mighty have fallen. But I'm looking forward to that Cleveland game, though. And I'm looking forward to that Atlanta game, too, because those are both potential playoff matchups. You know, Atlanta's always a good matchup, especially they bounced us last year, so I wouldn't mind seeing that playoff series. I think if we get them at some round in the playoffs, we match up better with them than we do with Toronto and Washington too. I think I'd rather play Atlanta.
Actually, I'm gonna take back what I just said. Celtics are gonna go 3-1. That lone loss will be to
Cleveland. I think we're gonna beat Cleveland.
I want to be the optimist, you know. I don't want to.
Yeah. Right, I'm looking forward to the game with Kevin Love out. You know, J.R. Smith still out.
What if Avery Bradley's back?
Yeah, if Bradley could be back, that'd be huge. And Cleveland might have Deron Williams by then too.
Can we talk about that for like 30 seconds? I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like him.
What do you mean?
you know, he hasn't. Yeah, and then yeah, and going to out Cleveland, it's going like, it's no better than him saying I'm going to go to Golden State. I mean, obviously, yeah, people are going to disagree with me. Like, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He's a little older. He's like way past his prime. But I don't know. I don't like the whole everybody fleeing to Cleveland and Golden State thing. Cleveland more so than Golden State. But I don't like it. But I wanted to get that in there. But anyway, yeah, Cleveland might have Deron Williams in the game. So we'll see. That might be obviously a tough matchup, but we'll see. I don't know. The Celtics are pretty unpredictable sometimes. So if they do what they did against Toronto, obviously Cleveland has the potential to and the talent to blow the Celtics out of the water. But we'll see. I'll say 3-1, and we'll say that they'll lose that Cleveland game. But
I'd be very happy with a win against
Atlanta. It's a solid win. Yeah,
they're a good team. You know, they've been playing so much better since they traded Kyle Korver, which makes no sense. But
yeah, I say 3-1. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I mean, I think I'd be happy with a 3-1 win for sure.
So I guess we should just keep an eye out on what happens with these buyouts, and hopefully Andrew Bogut comes to Boston.
Yeah, that's what to keep an eye on. I guess those two guys, Bogut and Terrence Jones, their agents are weighing teams' interests, offers. Obviously, like you said, Bogut's looking to play. So I would imagine Jones is too, because they're both going to be free agents at the end of the year. So they're both looking for their next paycheck. So, you know, but those are the additions. I'd be satisfied. We didn't make any moves. We didn't give up anything, and we still got one of those guys. I'd be thrilled with that development.
We'll definitely see. Well, guys, you can check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can get tickets to the next Celtics game under that heading. Now you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Block Talk Radio, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, so you don't have any excuses. You can find us pretty much anywhere. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to give us that 5-star rating. If you don't like something, have a suggestion, always make sure to let us know. We're totally receptive to that. We're trying to bring you what, you know, trying to give you what you guys want to hear. So again, if you have any recommendations, suggestions, want us to talk less, want us to talk more, want us to have dogs barking in the background, want us to have cats meowing, whatever you want, we'll try our best to give you guys what you want. So you can check us out next week, and we'll see what happens. Should be an interesting week, though. See you guys.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.